This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:40 on the evening edition with Hezril and Kelvin, and we're starting our next story by asking you, how has COVID-19 changed the way you shop and spend? So this story is from The Edge, and it's about how COVID-19 has changed consumer habits and spending in ASEAN. The World Economic Forum and Bain & Company summed this up in a project called The Future of Consumption in Fast-Growth Consumer Markets, and they've predicted that those trends will also change post-COVID-19 in several ways.
Firstly, the middle class will explode, which will double consumer spending. The report estimates that by 2030, 70% of ASEAN will be middle class. Over the next decade, this means many more people will buy their first luxury item. They'll be willing to pay higher prices for products that offer convenience, well-being, and personalization.
That's right, but some things won't change. Consumers will likely still want products that are sustainable, despite setbacks in environmentally friendly policies during the pandemic. It also predicted that people will continue the current trend of buying goods focused on convenience and well-being.
And additionally, ASEAN consumers will prefer buying local brands. In Indonesia, for instance, 80% of consumers prefer local products, especially when it comes to food. Tech will also heavily influence the way we make purchasing decisions and shop. During the pandemic, even consumers resistant to e-commerce had to make their purchase online for the first time ever. The study found and predicts that convenience is king and privacy is a reasonable trade-off to make up for that. So businesses will have to respond to these changes by offering their services online.
That's interesting. So you can let us know, do any of these observations that you've heard match how your habits changed during the pandemic, whether it's buying more local products, being more comfortable with online shopping, or perhaps trading privacy for convenience. You can let us know. Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. So to delve into these insights and how they apply to consumer trends in ASEAN now and after the pandemic, we're going to hear later on from Praneeth Yendamuri, partner at Bain & Company, to talk more about the survey's findings. So do keep it here on Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9. The business station.
It's coming along to 5:45. It's 6:45 on the evening edition with Hezril and Kelvin. And we're looking at consumer habits in ASEAN and how they're going to change after COVID-19. It's actually done by the World Economic Forum and Bain & Company in a project called The Future of Consumption in Fast Growth Consumer Markets. And to get some insights into the survey's findings, we're now speaking with Praneeth Yendamuri, partner at Bain & Company. Praneeth, thanks for joining us this evening. So consumer spending is expected to double due to a middle-class boom. What are the concerns and interests that have traditionally driven spending in this group?
Sure. I think basically if you look at the demographic in Southeast Asia and in countries like Malaysia, you have a young population and you have a GDP per capita that is on the rise. And with that, you expect that people will go up the socioeconomic status. And with that, you have a larger population base that's of middle class. Now, with that comes consumption of several categories that were either good to have or nice to have in the repertoire of these consumers. Now they would be aspiring to seek those categories for their consumption. And hence you would see a lot of categories sort of growing at a rapid pace given this middle-class consumer boom. Now in terms of concerns, what you would see is how do you then balance concerns around sustainability? How do you balance concerns around urbanization or over-urbanization? And how do you sort of match the demand-supply gap of resources versus the demand for these resources? So that's something that both the government as well as the private sector need to bear in mind.
How are we seeing that change during and post-COVID-19?
During COVID-19, there has been a massive uptake in essential categories things like baby infant milk formula, personal care items, food, groceries, and so on and so forth. We also heard of many instances where there was what we call pantry loading because people were sort of panic buying. Definitely, we saw luxury categories take the back seat as people were very focused on essentials. Now, as COVID sort of eases or beginning to ease, hopefully so, in a few markets, what you see is a tapering of demand to normalcy of most of these categories. But the biggest trend, what we have found because of COVID, is digital adoption. A number of consumers have started buying a lot of categories online, and a biggest uplift is on groceries. We saw a 3x increase in penetration in groceries as people started buying these online.
Right, and the study also found that there'll be a blur between premium and value shopping. Could you take us through that in terms of whether premium shopping will continue to be alluring and what kind of value will consumers be looking for?
What we found in our study is that across different socioeconomic classes, including SECA, as we would call them, a top key purchasing criteria for consumers has always been price, and that will continue to do so. So people are willing to pay a premium, especially when they can afford it, but that's going to be more for experience, for convenience, for sustainability. Consumers are going to ask, what's in it for me? What is that brand or service giving to me such that I'm happy to pay a premium? In terms of the trends, going back to your earlier question, one of the biggest things that's going to come out of COVID is affordability. I think consumers are going to be very careful on what they spend their money on, and hence affordability or value for money is going to be a big theme in the times to come.
And companies that sit in both those categories?
Sure. I think a lot of consumer product companies especially need to rethink their pack prices. I do know of some brands thinking of lowering their pack sizes so that the entry level at which a consumer can consume that product comes down. This is in line with the whole affordability theme. I also see that some brands are hunkering down in terms of the number of offerings they're offering. They want to use this moment to take out complexity out of their business. So they're reducing the number of SKUs. So they are focused on sharper, fewer, hero SKUs, as we would call them. So affordability is a theme that every brand needs to think of. In terms of the top of the pyramid or premiumization, brands will have to ask themselves, why should a consumer pay a premium for their product? Is it because of an experience that they're giving? Is it because of a superior functional benefit? Is it because of a sustainability promise and so on and so forth? So the onus is of the brands to give what the consumer wants.
And unsurprisingly, e-commerce is here to stay. For businesses looking to pivot, how will this affect the structure and processes that they have in place?
Sure. Like you said, e-commerce or digital penetration has really picked up because of COVID. A number of people have moved online. In fact, the penetration of digital consumers in Malaysia in itself is about more than 80% for consumers who are 15 years and above, which means these are consumers who have bought something online. So 80% of people who are 15 years and above have done a digital transaction in Malaysia. Now, for brands, what it means is developing a strategy and an ambition for e-commerce. This has to be about how big should I want my brand to be on e-commerce? Which platforms, e-commerce platforms, would I choose to play in? What is the portfolio assortment will I need to offer on these platforms? How do I manage my offline as well as online pricing conflicts, if any? The way you would execute seamlessly for great consumer experience online is very different from how you would execute offline. In online, it's about, are consumers able to find your product easily? Are they able to figure out what features you're able to offer easily? Are they able to read your reviews and are they favorable? And are they able to purchase quickly and exit the platform? So it's a different consumer experience you need to give. And hence, as an organization for a brand, you need to develop those capabilities or buy those capabilities from the market so your organization has that wherewithal to execute on online platforms.
So the report also mentions that tech will tear down socioeconomic walls. What would that look like in Malaysia?
Absolutely. I think we're already seeing a lot of investment going into digital space. this is either enabling digital payments, e-wallets, and sort of people leapfrogging from cash and credit cards onto e-wallets and e-payments. That's one. Second is about health tech. We do believe that especially rural parts of the markets can be better served through telemedicine or doctors who are remote and hence bring into fold medical care in some shape or form remotely. Third is about edutech. Again, we do see investments and companies and brands wanting to invest a lot in the space of edutech, where again, courses and avenues earlier not available to the common folk could hopefully be available because of edutech. So with the advent of technology, we hope that the underserved or the unserved can come into the fold of better served.
Now, has enough been done, Praneeth, to ensure that participation in entrepreneurship and digital entrepreneurship is democratic and accessible?
It is a work in progress, and I believe that we will see more and more interest, investments, and regulations which are in favorable to help enable this advancement.
Mm. Are we also seeing a push as to which countries and markets Malaysians are more keen to purchase from?
Sure. I think the competitive landscape is as intense or as fierce as ever before. What you'd find as competition is, number one, local brands that are trying to do well. Number two is Southeast Asian brands that are trying to expand beyond their home markets. Number three is multinational companies who treat Malaysia as a must-win market and hence they're investing a lot in it. Number four is disruptive brands, insurgent brands, we would call them, with new interesting models that are trying to disrupt the marketplace. And finally, you do also have a sort of threat, I wouldn't call it threat, maybe an interesting challenge, if you will, from the end point of sale with the consumers, where there could be a push for private label or own label brands. So consumers will have a much wider choice as they move forward, and hence brands will have to work that much more harder to retain their market share.
How can businesses in Malaysia leverage on these shifts in consumer behavior?
I think we are seeing disruption like we have seen never before. So it's a good moment for companies or brands to step back and ask themselves a few questions. Number one is my offering in the market suitable to the consumer's changing needs, either driven by COVID, either driven by certain other underlying trends like digital disruption and so on that we have seen. So I think start with, is my consumer offering relevant for today and for tomorrow? Number two is, we've also seen or spoken about digital penetration and consumers spending more time online. So when you're thinking about marketing your brand, ask yourselves, am I putting money where my consumer is actually spending time on in terms of my media mix and so on and so forth? Number three, ask yourself about supply chains. Is my current supply chain robust enough that will stand the test of time and will not be disrupted, given how much disruption we have seen in the last 6 months as far as supply chains are concerned? Number four, route to market. Again, what worked in the past may not work in the future. E-commerce is going to be an important channel. So do I have a route to market fit for purpose for the future? Number five is organization. I mean, any organization is only as good as its people. So do I have the right capabilities and the operating model and the culture that can sort of survive in the future? So if not, what new capabilities do I need to embed? What new culture should I start building within the company to be ready for the future? I think these are a few things that every brand and company need to ask themselves.
Mm. And some very good questions indeed. Praneeth, thanks so much for speaking with us today. That was Praneeth Yenamuri, partner at Bain & Company. And you can keep sending us your thoughts. You know, what have your shopping trends looked like during COVID-19? What kind of, you know, products have you been looking at? And when it comes to food, perhaps, are you keeping it local? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Speaking of tweets, we do have a running poll on Twitter from our previous story on local councils. We're asking you, how well do you know your local council? 49.5% say that I have a local council. 24.8% are saying only a little. 3.7% say I engage with them regularly. And 22% say I only know my ADUN or MP.
clearly quite a big block there.
Yeah.
Who aren't too aware of the local councils. You know, I think beyond the, well, I want to say beyond the usual trash trucks you see outside of your house, but even then, that's not like the most obvious. That's not where you see their presence the most, right? I think if you really want to see their presence, it's sometimes through the fines that you get on the bad places that you park or, and so on.
Yeah. And I think it speaks to, you know, I mean, look, 3.7% with, we have over 100 votes now, and only 3.7% say I engage with them regularly. And I think it speaks to the kind of culture, right, that goes on among people living in cities and, you know, how perhaps how people view issues, I think, right? I think it, a lot of times people think, there's a problem. I need to go to my MP. I need to go to my Adun, you know, whether that's water disruptions, right, you know, over the past, two weeks, or other issues like welfare, perhaps. We've seen a lot of MPs in the spotlight. But what about local councils? And I think perhaps there needs to be a push to have people engage with them so that perhaps local issues in their neighborhoods can be addressed more effectively. But,
I really want to say, I think it's the 3.7% that most of us will have to say thank you for, and thank you to, for making sure that our roads are clean, that trash gets picked up, and all sorts of other issues. Without them engaging or maybe even complaining, I don't think we would be where we are today.
For sure, yes. And thank you for that. And please do keep engaging your local councils. Otherwise, you can head to Twitter to participate in the poll, or send us through your thoughts. Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be headed to the 7 o'clock news. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.